Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Daniel in the Lion's Den, chapter 6 of the book of Daniel. But before we dive into this monumental event that occurred in the days of Daniel, let's kind of get a little bit of a background as far as what was going on here with the people of God. The historic setting for the book of Daniel is in Babylon during the 70-year Babylonian captivity, which was prophesied by Jeremiah 25:11. It's interesting to note that Daniel's name means God is my judge. God is my judge. And that will come into play here when we look in the 6th chapter of the book of Daniel, which was written, authored by Daniel as he was led by the Spirit to record it. And God is his judge, not men. You know, when men judge you wrongly, and they will if you follow Christ, they will shun you, they will persecute you, they will fabricate lies against you. Jesus promised that. He said they will say all manner of evil against you falsely. Remember, this is what they did to Daniel and all the patriarchs of old, prophets and apostles, and every disciple of Christ, especially those called out to serve in under-shepherd leadership role. They will be, all manner of evil will be spoken against him. The great and beloved apostle of Christ, Paul, was imprisoned for his righteousness. And I wonder if they had printed pages posted everywhere as they sought for Paul, the authorities, if you will, saying, you know, most wanted, and, you know, showing his mugshot and all this stuff. This was a man of God. And as Jesus promised, though, that they would be, all his apostles and all of his disciples thereafter, would be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 10:22. But remember, God is your judge. God was Paul's judge. God alone was Daniel's judge. And God alone is your judge. In fact, I love what David said. He said, let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Psalm 17:2. Let my sentence, or verdict is what that means in the Hebrew, let my verdict come forth from thy presence. And let me tell you, God is going to hide us in the pavilion of his presence, the scripture tells us in Psalm 31:20, from the strife of tongues. You know, when people attack you, as I mentioned earlier, they've done to all the people of God throughout the ages. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. God alone is your judge, and he will keep you from great psychological stress as he teaches you to realize that he alone is your judge and no other. Let my sentence or my verdict come forth from thy presence. Psalm 17:2. And the one I just read about God putting you, hiding you in the secret of his presence from the pride of man, and in the secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues, is Psalm 31:20. And also, while I finish here, James spoke of there being one God, one lawgiver, and that's God himself, James 4:11-12, and one judge, and that's the Lord, not any man. So this book is to teach God's people throughout all of history that the prophetic visions of God's sovereignty over nations and the final triumph of his kingdom will be played out, as it already has been played out, as we plunge here headlong into the final events before our Lord Jesus Christ's return. And again, before we jump into chapter 6, notice notice in chapter 4, verse 32, the Bible says, and I really love this. I got it underlined in my Bible and should be highlighted. It says, "The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." This is an important message we see here in the book of Daniel that is going to play an increasing role of importance in our day here in America. The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. You know, the Bible tells us God lifts up one and puts down another. You know, in Psalm 75, verse 5 and 6, you know, whoever we have as president is the judgment of God upon this nation. It's what the people want, apparently. And therefore, God turns us over to it by giving us a leader, such as whoever is currently in the future going to be in leadership in America. The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. But you've got to separate yourself also, friend, as a disciple of Christ, as one who is a part of the family of God, that spiritual house that's bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we read about in 1 Peter 2:5. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 9, we're a chosen generation, the body of Christ, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now notice, we're a holy nation. The body of Christ is separate from general America, if you will, or secular America, just like Daniel and the three Hebrew children and the people of God in captivity in Babylon during the writing, the time of Daniel, when he wrote, were separate. They were a separate people from the heathen, the secular kingdom of Babylon. And yet God rules in the affairs of men. That's what we read here. The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. I think that verse would be worth putting on an index card and memorizing. I have it myself on an index card at least once amidst my index cards of scripture to meditate upon, memorize, and own and be possessed by those truths. You know, you're really not serious about God until you start memorizing his word. The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And again, that's Daniel 4:32. And in verse 35, it says, Daniel 4:35, he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? You know, no one can question God who rules in the affairs of men. God has the last say-so, just like he did in the days of Mordecai and Esther in the book of Esther. When one wicked man sought to have all the Jews killed, the man's name was Haman, but I always like to use the phrase, remember Haman's gallows. Remember Haman's gallows. Why? Because Haman, who sought to have the children of Israel's heads cut off by the gallows that he made, ultimately was the one who was put in that gallows and beheaded. You see, the Lord, the Most High, ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Ultimately, God really is in charge, friend, and we should see his hand throughout history as not being absent but present, and no matter what it looks like, that he's working behind the scenes to bring about his ultimate glory. Did we not read in Romans chapter 8:28 that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose? And then it says next that he's predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. And so through these trials and tribulations that come our way, and through which we walk by faith and not by sight, God's hand is going to be exalted. God's rule and his ultimate will is going to be what the outcome is for those who live by faith and not by sight. Again, Daniel 4:32, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Keep that in mind in your life, beloved. And as we read and skim through the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel, where Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. But before we do that, I want to quote Romans 15:4. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," or in the past, in the Old Testament scriptures, "were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. That's why we have the Old Testament scriptures. That's one of the many reasons. But that is a stated reason in the scriptures in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Chapter 6, verse 1 of Daniel. "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first." Daniel was the highest in ranking among these presidents. "That the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage." In other words, the kingdom would run smoothly, and the king could do what he did as a king. So he set up this hierarchy. "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." So notice that Daniel had an excellent spirit. I believe he was about 80 years old at this time. He had an excellent spirit. It says, because, verse 3, Daniel 6, "because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." So this king sounds like Joseph, doesn't it, with Potiphar, and how he was exalted to the highest position. He went from the pit that his brothers threw him into to the palace. You see, those that humble themselves are going to suffer greatly, but they're going to be exalted by God ultimately. For you and I, that's especially concerning eternal glory with Christ, where he sees every deed done in secret before your Father, every good work and thought and prayer that you've offered to him through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, for the body of Christ. As we have Epaphras as a great example in the book of Colossians, that is all going to be rewarded. God doesn't miss anything. And as we seek him in that daily time of prayer in the prayer closet where Jesus said, "The Father who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly," God is going to imbue you and I with an excellent spirit, which is a term that appears in the 17th chapter of Proverbs, where it speaks of a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. I don't know about you, but I want the glory of God on my life. Not my glory, but his glory, because I have no real glory anyway, and neither do any of us. But the glory of God, the Bible tells us that the Lord will give us favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men, in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, where he says, "To bind the words of God around thy neck, and don't let them get away from you, but be engrossed in them and in the meditation of them day and night, all the days of thy life upon this earth, and the Lord will give you favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men." Amen. So Daniel was of an excellent spirit. That would be a good prayer today. Lord, make us, in the name of Jesus, of an excellent spirit. And you know that doesn't come overnight, beloved. The Bible tells us that even Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. In the book of Luke chapter 2, I believe that might be verse 49 or 52, end of Luke 2, where Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. And the reason why we grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men is that we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk with the Lord in the Spirit. "They that worship the Father," Jesus told us, "must worship him in spirit and in truth." And it should be noted that our Lord Jesus Christ, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, which we read about in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and chapter 5. It was by the things that he suffered as he walked through those sufferings in unbroken communion with the Father, looking unto him even who is the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, sufferings are not a curse, but they're really a blessing, and we all resist them, especially initially. But when we begin to see the fruit of the Lord produced in our lives as we walk with him through the suffering, if he brought you to it, he's going to bring you through it. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. God, through the sufferings, as you walk with him in unbroken communion, he's going to perfect you, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. And the next time there's the threat or the fear of something coming upon the land or upon your life, a threat or whatever of some kind, or a worry, then you're going to be established, strengthened, settled, and brought to maturity or perfection. We read in James 1, 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, complete and matured and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. And this Daniel, who was of an excellent spirit, endured great tyrannical threats upon his life, even as in the third and fourth chapters we see the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, suffer, and how God brought them through it. Not only did he bring them through it, they went in bound and they came out free. Would imagine with their hands lifted up. And Jesus was seen in the fire with them, even the fourth man. It's interesting to note that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the third chapter, notice the gospel here, the death, burial, and resurrection. They were thrown into the fire, that's the death. They were thrown to their death, if you will. Then they fell down, that's the burial. And then they came out of the fire, unharmed. They didn't even smell like fire, and not one hair on their body was even singed. And then right after that is when the Bible says that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. You should memorize that verse, especially that portion. Daniel 4:32, not only for your own life, but to share with others. Remember that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. He's ultimately in control. And like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, they said, if we perish, we perish in this fire. That's what Esther said. You see, we're going to serve God no matter what. We're going to serve God with an excellent spirit like Daniel, and with a refusal to commit idolatry and turn our hearts from the Lord our God, who said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And if we perish, we perish. And that's basically what the three Hebrew children said, that if we die in this fire, so be it. We're going to go to be with him. You know, he's in control here. Hallelujah. The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Daniel 4:32. And he ruled in that situation. He also ruled in the case of Daniel, who was of an excellent spirit because he was in unbroken communion with the Lord, the God of all spirits, as the Bible says. And he was faithful, it says in verse 4. Neither was there any error or fault found in Daniel. He was morally perfect. And, you know, I want to encourage you, because this is only a 28-verse chapter, to go through this sixth chapter of Daniel and study it prayerfully and ask the Lord to communicate exactly what he wants to communicate to your understanding, into your life. We have this great example of Daniel's faith toward God. You'll notice in the 16th verse and the 20th verse that the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest, he will deliver thee. This is the king that is actually encouraging Daniel that God was going to see him through, even if he was thrown into a den of hungry lions. The king of Babylon here, who was present with the three Hebrew children in the earlier chapters of Daniel, was Nebuchadnezzar. And then there was Belshazzar in chapter 5, and then the last verse of chapter 5 of Daniel, just before second to last verse, we get into this sixth chapter where Daniel's thrown into the lion's den. Belshazzar is slain. And then King Darius, chapter 6, verse 1, is king here in this sixth chapter, while this is recorded, of Daniel. And he encourages Daniel, whom he loved, and this is a secular king, but Daniel had an excellent spirit, and a man could trust Daniel. Thy God, he says, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. No doubt this man was in the know about the things that Nebuchadnezzar had said about the Lord, the Most High, that ruleth in the kingdom of men, after he had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fire, and how the fourth man was seen in the fire, even the son of one like unto the Son of God. And then this man was greatly humbled, and he goes into a great discourse of extolling the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar was greatly humbled, and no doubt Darius was familiar with these great acts of the Lord, the Most High, who ruleth in the kingdoms of men. So he was faithful, neither was there any error found in him, that is, in this man who had was of an excellent spirit, even Daniel, who was set over the kingdom here under the king. King Darius, just under him. And this often happens in life, doesn't it? If you had this happen to you, where others are jealous of your position. And so they devised a law that would have Daniel offending it, because Daniel was going to pray, and they knew that. And so they couldn't find anything immoral in him, because he walked circumspectly before the Lord, as the Bible tells us to do, Ephesians 5:15, complete, whole, and in perfection, we are to walk before the Lord. Now, if you choose to do evil, sin, in any way, if you'll repent and return to the Lord and cease those wicked ways, God will forgive you, and you'll be perfect in His sight through Christ. All right, so Daniel was found praying continually, the Bible says, in verse 16 and 20. In fact, that's the testimony of Darius, the king. He says, "Thy God whom thou servest continually, He will deliver thee." Then in verse 20, "The servant of the living God is thy God, whom thou servest continually, and He's able to deliver thee from the lions," was the question here. "And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lion. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." So Daniel had a clear conscience, and God delivered him, shut the mouths of those lions when he was thrown in that lion's den overnight, after being hurled into such predicament by jealous underlings, if you will, because God had raised him up, and this king had seen the excellent spirit and the faithfulness of Daniel. But these other guys, these other presidents and princes, were jealous. And so they had the king sign a law that no one could pray or worship any image except his, that is, King Darius's, and he signed it, not knowing that it was going to put Daniel in the place of breaking that law, because Daniel was not going to pray to anyone but the Most High God, who ruleth in the affairs of men. And Daniel would open his window and pray, we read in the book of Daniel, 3 times a day, morning, noon, and at evening. And it says, let's pick up in verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks to before his God, as he had done aforetime. Then these men assembled, and they were seeking to entrap him, and found Daniel praying." Hallelujah. Are your enemies finding you praying, my friend? Are you praying without ceasing, as we are told to do in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5? I love Luke 18:1. It says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen. That's how you walk in the Spirit. You got to have a life of prayer, which should start every morning, first thing, with time with God in that secret chamber that Jesus taught us to do, to enter into when we pray. And when thou hast shut thy door, he said, you sealed yourself off from the world. Pray to thy Father which seeth in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And that's exactly what we see God doing, the one who ruleth in the affairs of men, right here in the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in chapter 3 and 4, and also with Daniel in chapter 6. God shows himself strong and his mighty hand in the lives of those whose hearts are perfect toward him, according to 2 Chronicles 16:9. And Daniel's heart, as also was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their hearts were perfect toward the Lord. They sought him and served him continually. We read in Daniel 6, verse 16 and 20. And let me ask you, friend, do you follow Christ continually? Are you daily and perpetually denying yourself, taking up your cross and following him? Do you have a heart after God like David, the man after God's own heart? That is very key to the Lord's providential blessing, even the one who rules in the kingdoms of men, in your personal life and the destiny and outcome of your life. Now, of this great God, this Most High God who ruleth in the affairs and in the kingdoms of men, and who delivered the three Hebrew children in the book of Daniel, and who delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt and by his mighty hand, who delivered Daniel from being devoured by hungry lions, who shut their mouths. Of this same God, King Darius writes in chapter 6, of course, verse 25, "Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom," Darius writes, "men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end, eternal." Amen. "He delivereth," verse 27, Darius continues, "he delivereth and rescueth." I love it. "He delivers, saves, and rescues." He rescues his children. You know, one time in the Psalms, David prayed that the Lord would give him hinds feet. In other words, the feet of a swift, fast deer that could get away and escape from his enemies. "He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Notice that God delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And you know, God delivers his children today from the one who, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And the way that happens is as we walk according to the instructions of the Lord, letting his word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, being a doer of the word. And you know, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 17:4, that "by the words of thy mouth I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer," that is this lion, this roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We are going to stay rescued and delivered from him by the Lord as we follow the word of God. "By the words of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer," wrote David in Psalm 17:4. Now, friend, let me ask you this as we close. Are there any lion's mouths that God wants to shut who are roaring in your life? Are there any people or foes of any kind, stalking devils who are vying for your mind and control over your thoughts, that God wants to shut their mouths and, if you will, shut them down and completely incapacitate them from harming you? Can you think of any lions in your life whose mouths need to be shut? Well, I can tell you God delivers and he rescues today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We see Jesus right here in Daniel, who was obviously with Daniel in this lion's den. Jesus is the one who created all things, including these lions, and he shut their mouths. We also see him as the fourth man, that even one like unto the Son of God in chapter 3 of Daniel, with the three Hebrew children. He showed up to, actually he was always already there, to rescue the three Hebrew children. He'll do the same for you if you serve him continually and unrelentingly. Amen. We see in verse 24 of this chapter, chapter 6, "And the king," that is Darius, "commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel." See, the false accusers were brought before Darius. He called for them. this was after Daniel was delivered, and they and brought out of the lion's den, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery over them and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. So those lions had a big old dinner with the people who had accused falsely Daniel, even as God had Haman hung in the gallows in the book of Esther, that he had devised to hang the righteous Mordecai, Esther, and all the children of Israel in. You see, we read in Psalms that the pit that the wicked dig for the righteous, they're going to be thrown into that pit themselves. Now, ultimately, we know that's going to be the pit of hell. But we see again that God rules in the Lord, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. And so he will take personal vengeance against our enemies as we serve him continually. In fact, the Bible tells us that God is an enemy to our enemies and an adversary to our adversaries. Yes, that's a promise from the Lord to all his children of this generation included, Exodus 23:22. But if, he tells his people, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversary. Wow. Do you want God being an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries? I sure do. Anyway, God bless you, friend. I hope that's food for thought and encouragement to your heart. And I want to encourage you again to go study the great mighty acts of our Lord, the Most High, who ruleth in the kingdom of men in the book of Daniel. God bless you. Feel free to visit safeguardyoursoul.com.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.